Book of Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, everybody knows about Hebrews chapter 11. That great faith chapter. But we're going to look at just one person in the book of Hebrews. And then when we'll carry this over to the morning message, this is kind of like the preliminary to the morning service. And so we want to look at this and look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, Father, again, we thank you for the Word of God. And I just pray you'd help us to learn some wonderful things about Abraham and about faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's nothing here that you're not aware of at all. We see Abraham. And you know, we're told a lot about the life of Abraham. If you go back and you read the book of Genesis, there are several chapters that give much of the life or major events in the life of Abraham in a very unbiased and very direct and very explicit manner. It gives the life of Abraham from his journey of being Abram to being renamed as Abraham. And we find out the different things about Abraham and his family. And so we see his family influences. He came out of Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees was a place of idolatry. He came out of an idolatrous people that were there. This is, after the Tower of Babel and all the things that had happened there, and the Chaldees was right there by Babylon. The Babylonians and the Chaldeans were pretty much confederate, and the Chaldeans were subservient to the Babylonians during those times, going back to Nimrod and all that time before. And so he came out of a place right there where the majority of the idolatry was, and particularly the idolatry surrounding Nimrod at the beginning. And so we see all that idolatry. He comes out of there. He gets away from his family and leaves. And he goes out to a place. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. In other words, God didn't tell him about this land. And if you read the narrative in the Old Testament, if you read the book of Genesis, God doesn't tell him that he's going to give that land to him an inheritance until a ways down the line as you go through the scriptures. He doesn't give him the details. But God just says, get out of there and go to a place where I'll show you. And he moved forward. And he went to Paran, and they left Ur of the Chaldees, went to Paran, and then from Paran into the land of Canaan. And he separated himself from his family, from everybody. So when we look at Abraham, we're looking at a man who basically, he separated himself from all his family. He got away from them. They were in idolatry, and he didn't follow them there. He got up and he went. And he didn't know where he was going. He was just going where he was told to go. So we see some things about Abraham that are pretty amazing in the fact that God didn't tell him everything up front, but he still obeyed. Isn't that somehow what happens to us? We tend to want everything on the table before we obey. But then that's not faith, is it? So many times we're hindered from doing God's will simply because we want to be certain of the outcome before we take a step forward. And that's not the way Abraham was. It's no wonder that Abraham is the paramount example of faith in the Bible. And then it says in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now he was in the land that he was going to inherit. But his entire life he lived there as a stranger. He had the promises of God, and God had told him that he was going to give it to him and to his seed, and he lived there his entire life as a stranger in the land that God promised him. And you know, he was willing to wait. He wasn't going to try to manufacture it himself. He wasn't going to try to do it his own way. He was willing to wait on God. He was willing to obey God, not knowing all the details. He just got what God said. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to question it. This is God speaking, so I'm going to believe God. And then God told him he's going to inherit everything. And he dwelled in the land of promise, as in a strange country, and so did his kids. But it says in verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now that's a amazing thing. He said, I don't want something built by man. I want something built by God. That's another place we fail. You know, the next passage says about Sarah. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now, we know some things about Sarah too. Even though she believed the promise of God, she kind of tried to manufacture it herself, didn't she? And she got... there's a world of hurt. Matter of fact, from her failure to just wait on God and trust God, and her provoking of Abraham to take Hagar, we still have unrest in the Middle East today, and we have throughout the entire history of that region, have we not? And this continues. Every year of our lives and the lives of our forefathers is back as far as we can trace, there's been unrest and war in the Middle East, hasn't there? Of one kind or another. And it continues today, doesn't it? And it stems from Sarah's, even though she's listed here as believing, she believed God, but she decided that she was going to figure out how God was going to do this thing. And so she provoked Abraham to take Hagar so she could raise that child as her child. And then when God fulfilled his promise, it got worse because she got jealous and angry and she wanted Ishmael cast out and Hagar cast out. Because she got upset. All that could have been avoided if she had just decided, instead of trying to... She certainly believed the promise, she just tried to figure it out on her own. And that's how we get in trouble. We try to figure it out all on our own. We try to make it happen. We try to do things that we know we shouldn't do. By the way, you'll never do right by doing wrong. You can bring about the will of God by doing wrong, but it will be because you are under the judgment of God. And God's will be to either discipline, chasten, or judge you in some way. But you'll never do right by doing wrong. God sometimes allows wrong. That's why God still allows the devil to do what the devil's doing. Because in the end, it's going to fulfill the will of God. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. The truth of God's word is going to be borne out whether we do right or do wrong. But it's a whole lot more profitable to do right, to believe God, and just do what we're supposed to do. So it's just something to think about. And then in verse 17, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And this to me is one of the most remarkable and important things. I preached a message about Abraham a long time ago, and I titled it many years ago, but even the blessings belong to God. Alright? And this was God's blessing to him, that in Isaac, that the seed of the fruit of his own loins, in Isaac would his seed be called, that he would have an heir. And then God tells him to go and take Isaac and to offer him up on the mountains of Moriah. And we all know the story, how he bound Isaac and he brought him there, and he told the people, he said that he and the lad would go and worship and come again. And he wasn't lying. He fully expected Isaac to come back. He accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. And he took the promise of God and put it on the altar as an offering. And you know, sometimes that's the hardest thing that we have to do. We have the blessings of God in so many ways. Some that are indirect, by virtue of where we live at the moment. And that can be and is being squandered. And then we have the direct blessing of God, where God blesses our lives individually. Hopefully, we had the blessing of God by living by faith. But not everybody that lived by faith had an easy time of it. But they still lived by faith. They still trusted God. And sometimes that's another hindrance to us. We sit there and we look at the things that God is doing. We look at the things that God has given us. And there comes a time where maybe the Spirit of God deals with our hearts about maybe something needs to be done with this. And God has a purpose and a plan. And we don't want to let go of it. We don't want to give it back to God. You know, by the way, if God tells me to do something and I go do it, if God tells me to give somebody something, and he says, does God tell you to give it? There's been times where it's been impressed upon my heart and my conscience that this is what I ought to do. And Sister Denise can attest to that. We've sat down, discussed, and we've given things away, and we've done some things throughout our life and history and everything like that. But I didn't give those things to those people. I gave them to God. Whether it be property, money, time, compassion, mercy, whatever God tells you to give another person, you're really not giving, you're giving back to Him. But we get, particularly with material blessings, which are the least of God's blessings, by the way. You know, God doesn't ask me to give up my home in heaven. The Apostle Paul said he could wish that himself were accursed for Christ for his brethren. That shows his heart. He said, I'd give up my salvation if it mean the salvation of my family, my friends, my loved ones, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He said, I'd give up my own salvation, my eternal life, for them. But God doesn't require that, does He? In the final analysis, the things that God asks us to give are really little piddling things. He doesn't ask us to give anything away that's eternal, other than the gospel. And then for doing that, we gain treasure in heaven, don't we? And a reward. Amen. Wow. But sometimes that's the sticking point, isn't it? God blesses us and then wants us to give something. And we don't want to give it. And you look at Abraham. Didn't know where he was going, but he went. Didn't know when the promise would be fulfilled. But he stayed. Told to give back what God had given him, and he obeyed. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I don't know anybody in the Bible who God asked more of. I don't know anybody in the Bible who gave more to God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, wonder what the world would be like if all those who named the name of Christ had the same attitude of heart as Abraham. Something to think about, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll break till the morning service. Father, in this brief time we've taken to study just a few statements about Abraham, we see a man who just believed you regardless of everything that was to the contrary. He just took you at your word and believed your word. Lord, we just thank you for such clear testimony. Lord, we see his flaws, and they're same as ours. But we also see his faith. So, Lord, help us to emulate that faith. Help us to see what we need to see. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.